On my upper lip, there's a growth I've never seen before. And I wish that there was someone I could call.
6:39, you know what time it is.
The WGN hotline. I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
Ask yourself, who would you call?
I've got a stomach pain that's low, fungus on my toe, and I need you now. He's from Central DuPage Hospital.
The service of Northwestern Medicine.
Dr. Morse right now.
We need an update on the song, don't we? Dr. Kevin Morse joins us, brought to you by Northwestern Medicine Impact Every Day. Somehow we got to wedge Northwestern Medicine into your theme song, Doc.
I know. John's going to have to work on that because I don't know how he's going to get it in there because it just flows right now.
It's right. Like it's really strong.
In my head.
I don't know. How was your weekend?
It was great. I was in Washington all week, so it's always nice to come back to good weather. And it was pretty nice to get out on the golf course, too.
Good. Excellent. How'd you play?
Not good, but you know what?
Excellent.
It's all right. Yep.
And what were you doing in D.C.?
I was down there to meet with some other chief medical officers to talk with the AHA about a couple key issues. Cybersecurity was one, and we talked about violence in the workplace as well as violence on the streets and what hospitals can do to start to curb that. And what else? Oh, workforce planning. What are we going to do now with the aging workforce that we have and yet the big need that we're going to have in healthcare coming up here over the next 10, 15 years?
We don't have this on the agenda to discuss, but just a general comment here in regards to doctors getting out of the business, whether it's you want to blame it on Obamacare, blame it on whatever, and the need for more high-level nursing. Is that still a trend?
Oh, yeah. It's probably one of the biggest trends right now. You know, the way that doctors are going to get paid by Medicare is going to change dramatically over the next couple of years. And you will start to see doctors saying, you know what, I've had enough of this. I'm going to get out. And because of that, we really are going to need to look at these advanced practice providers, which are nurses that are APNs and physician's assistants, to kind of step up and actually be able to practice to the top of their license. These are very talented individuals, and if we put them in the right situation at the right point, we're going to end up with some great healthcare outcomes.
So if you got a kid in nursing school, the advice from you sounds like it would be go for that physician's assistant or that APN certification, right?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, especially for the APNs. What we used to see 10 years ago was we saw nurses that were in the frontline caregiving situation for about 5, 6, 7 years before they went into their APNs. Their advanced practice license. What's happening now is that has shrunk down to like 15 months. So we're starting to see nurses finish nursing school, jump in and start in the workplace, but get their advanced degree much quicker. So there's pros and cons to that. You know, we love that nurse with a lot of experience to then move on, but we also know that there's a lot of young, bright minds that are going to advance their degrees quickly. So we just need to make sure we keep a good balance on that.
Is an APN what you used to call an RN, or is that different?
No. The APNs are RNs, but they're RNs that have gone on to get additional training.
I see. So it's an extra level.
Yep. Correct.
Got it. All right, 6:42, let's talk about the flu here and also invite people to text in any questions they have about their own health or lack thereof at 312-981-7200. Doc can't fix you over the phone, but he can give you some guidance. All right, so what do we know about the flu vaccine? Because it seems like you were talking about this a couple of months ago and said, whoops, looks like we missed on one.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. You know, the study came out, and what we're talking about there is the flu mist, and that's for the individuals who are needle phobic. They don't want to get a shot, but yet they want to get some protection. The CDC and another study came out that showed that flu mist does not have great coverage, so they said in the United States, no flu mist this year. Since then, a Canadian study has come out and said, hold on, you guys missed the boat. Matter of fact, it's okay, it's not great, but we're still getting response rates of, you know, close to 60%. So will they relook at it this year? I don't think so, because it's way too late in the game. So I think we're going to be without the flu mist this year. So they may change something midstream, but I strongly doubt it. So I would really encourage people, even if you're needle phobic, try to get that vaccine because it's really not that bad. I mean, one shot is really not bad.
And whatever coping skills you have, and obviously tell your doctor and your doctor's office that it's a concern when you walk in so they know what they're dealing with.
Yeah. You know, Andrea Darlis is afraid of shots, but she got it. She's out of the country today, right?
Yeah. Yeah. She was hoping that you would come in and do your annual flu shots with us while she was out of the country. I said, I'm going to encourage Doc to wait on that.
Yeah.
But then I did I did tell her, Doc, that last year she never got sick. And
right.
Because, I reminded
that's exactly
her of
that. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly right. And you know what, Doc? She just had a tetanus shot.
That's right.
So somehow she'll survive.
She's going to be an old pro. And actually, it's good that she went on her trip now because, you know, I recommend people get their vaccines anytime after October 1st. So really, we're still a little bit early right now, although you can get a vaccine pretty much anywhere in the United States today.
All right. So let's ask and answer a couple of questions here. The ask is, what are the age ranges? Who definitely has to get a shot?
Yeah. So the age ranges are pretty much everyone. So, but the biggest focus this year is probably going to be on seniors. When we look at seniors, we look at, you know, we see about 35,000 people die every year from influenza. 80 to 90% of those are seniors. So another very interesting thing came out for seniors, and this is a big one right now. There's a couple things with seniors with the vaccine. One, we know that as we age, our immune response wanes. It doesn't act up as quickly as we want it to. So what we've noticed that over the last couple of years, what we've done is we've made a high dose vaccine. So we've made a dose, a super vaccine, essentially for seniors. Well, a very interesting study came out of England that showed not only we should be giving them the high dose, but they should also be vaccinated in the morning.
And why I looked in the notes and it's between 9 and 11 a.m. Why is that the golden hours?
How is that? Isn't that pretty interesting?
Wild.
So they assume it's due to cortisol. We have our level of cortisol hits the highest about an hour after we wake up, and then it drops down throughout the entire day.
So that makes your overall physiology more acceptable to the accepting of the vaccine?
Correct. The assumption is that cortisol somehow impacts the immune response. So if you're going to get it, you want to get the high dose vaccine, and you want to get it when your cortisol level is the highest. So getting it in the morning for seniors is going to be the thing this year. It's being tracked. It's being studied across the country. But it certainly sounds very fascinating that if you want to get a good response, get the high dose and get the vaccine in the morning.
All right. And for the youngsters, and I mean the super youngsters, you know, little babies and toddlers and stuff, what do we know there?
Yeah, you know, we are going to try to really make sure that we vaccinate children over the age of 6 months because we really want to be careful about these kids because they're almost as vulnerable as adults are. So we know that the immune response in children, they're still building up their immunity. So two things there. One is we want to protect them. So us getting flu shots protects young children, but also make sure that the children are vaccinated as well. So grandparents, kind of like we talked about whooping cough, also make sure you get vaccinated because you don't want to get this young child ill with influenza because it can be deadly.
All right. And for everybody else looking for an excuse not to get it, you really don't have one, do you?
There are no excuses, to be honest with you. You know, even the people that said, well, I'm allergic to eggs. Well, we have a vaccine now that is not egg-based. It's cell-based. So those individuals also really don't have a great medical reason to not get the vaccine. And, you know, people that have had influenza will never miss the vaccine. It is 10 days of very, very, very uncomfortable feeling, high fevers, body aches. You just feel like someone ran you over with a truck. So once you've had influenza once, I assure you, you're going to get the vaccine because it's not worth missing 10 days of work and feeling miserable.
Doc, you mentioned whooping cough. We have a new baby in the family, and I was told that if I want to go visit the baby, I need to get a whooping cough injection.
Absolutely, Dave, and that's very key. We look at grandparents and we say we
want to... Oh, it's not a grandchild, by the way. Just to make that clear.
Yeah, okay. But in my case, you told me to get it, and I did. Mm-hmm. I got three or four. I said, just give me a couple extras.
You just kept getting them? Yeah, go ahead, Doc.
So we thought initially that pertussis, we had lifelong immunity because of the vaccine we got when we were young. What we found out is that, no, that's not true. Outbreaks at University of Iowa, University of Illinois, now outbreaks all over. What we really want to make sure is anybody who's going to be around a young child goes in, and when you get that tetanus shot, get the tetanus shot that has pertussis in it as well. It will give you that protection. Whooping cough for adults, again, is kind of like influenza. It can be treated, but it's very, it's an aggravating cough. You watch a YouTube video of it and you'll see what I mean. But for a young child, a newborn, whooping cough can be extremely dangerous. So we want to make sure that we don't give the young child the chance of getting pertussis. So get that vaccine if you want to be around any newborns.
And how far in advance do you have to get? I mean, does it take effect right away?
No, it doesn't. It's like all the other vaccines. It takes about 2 weeks for the body's response. So if you're feeling great and healthy right now, okay, you don't have whooping cough. You can still do it. But if you even start to feel ill, it's not good to be around it because you will be contagious. But it takes 2 weeks for the body's immune response to actually kick up and make sure that it has a big enough response that if you were exposed to someone with whooping cough, you would be protected.
We'll come back and get some questions from Doc, from you texters, and also answer the question, hey, you may have gone to medical school, but the flu shot makes me sick, man. That's what we hear all the time. Dr. Most on that in a moment. Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. Impact every day. Dr. Kevin Most. Northwestern Medicine, Impact Every Day. 6:54 now, and before we get to the lightning round of questions, Doc, I mean, we got a text from somebody a second ago. Said, seriously, Steve, seriously, every time I get this shot, I feel crappy. All right, so let's address it again. Does the flu shot make you sick?
No, it's impossible. The flu vaccine cannot cause you to have the flu. It's made from dead virus parts, so you can't get influenza because of it. Now, people might have they might feel a little achy, they might feel a little sore, their arm might hurt a little bit, but you can't get influenza. Now, that being said, if you wait long enough, you can get the shot and still get exposed to somebody within a short period of time. The vaccine hasn't had a chance to build the immune response like we were talking about, the 2 weeks needed, and you could still get it. But you can't get it from the shot itself. Impossible.
So if you have an umbrella, you're less likely to get wet. If you have the flu shot, you're much less likely to get the flu.
Correct. You know, we look at response rates on the vaccine, and they're not great. Believe me, you know, we're talking about response rates 70-75%. But if you were in Las Vegas and there was a game that you would win 75%.
Yeah, you'd play.
You'd play. Yep.
You'd play. Yep. You'd play. You'd leave some money there.
Yep.
All right, let's go through some of these other questions here related to it. The flu vaccine and the pertussis vaccine, the shingles vaccine. There's a lot of vaccines we ought to be getting. Can you do multiple vaccines at once?
Yes, you can do multiple vaccines at once. So, you know, ideally we'd like to spread them out, but if push comes to shove, you can certainly get them both. The body has enough immune response that it knows what to look for, and it can make the antibodies for more than one. If you think about it, children, when they're getting vaccinated, you know, sometimes you get up to four vaccines at the exact same time.
The insurance folks, are they covering this for the most part? And if so, which vaccination do they cover?
Yes, they almost all insurances now are covering the flu shot. It's in their best interest, right? They can do a $20 flu shot, and it'll keep you out of the doctor's office, out of the emergency room, or out of the hospital. So the vast majority of them are going to cover it, and those that don't, it still is only $20. So people who have a high deductible plan and haven't used their entire deductions yet may have to pay out of pocket, but it's money well spent.
What is high-dose flu shot, and does it cost more?
No, for the most part, you're going to see that the vaccine is going to be the same. And the high dose is what we were talking about before with the seniors. So it's a stronger vaccine. And it's really recommended for people over the age of 65 because we know they don't have a great immune response to the normal one. So we make a senior dose, a high dose, so that we can get a better response to protect them.
Senior 59, 60, how old? Well, by medical definition.
Yeah, 60 is going to be the break that we look at. But again, I'm talking vaccinations for everybody. So you can ask for the higher dose one if you want as at a younger age. So it's not that it's going to be a bad for you. It's actually going to give you a better chance for a response.
47 years old, can't sleep, 2 to 4 hours a night at most. Any advice?
Yeah, you know, a lot of people have what we call like that insomnia time at that age. One, I would look at stress, and two, I would look at your sleep habits. What are you doing just before you go to bed? Are you watching TV in bed? Are you eating? Be careful about what you do and try to train yourself so that when you go to sleep, you're going to sleep. You're not going to try to do activities that are going to stimulate your brain just before you go to bed, whether that's watching TV or doing something on the computer and then expect to go to bed. Try to train yourself so that when you go to sleep or when you're getting in your bed, you go to bed. As far as trying to fall asleep longer, you know, people have tried tryptophan. They've tried other sleep aids. I'm not a big fan of them. I think that making sure you're in the right environment, that the temperature's right in the room and it's a quiet room, is going to help you extend that.
Last one, and I encourage everybody, when you hear Dr. Most, get your text in early so I can get your questions on. Over the last few weeks, I noticed I get pins and needles in my feet and fingers. I have no back issues. Should I be concerned?
Well, you can. There's things called diabetic neuropathy, so I don't know how old the patient is or how any other medical conditions they have. But sometimes our circulation doesn't work as well in diabetics. And when that happens, we end up with people who have kind of pins and needles and numbness in their toes and fingers. So it's something that you might want to definitely get looked into. It's very common, and sometimes these are people who have diabetes and don't know it because they have the type 2 diabetes and they don't need insulin, but their blood sugars run continually high. So definitely something to look into with your doctor.
Great stuff. As always, Dr. Kevin Most, Northwestern Medicine Impact every day. Enjoy your day.
You got it. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, buddy. Back after this.